This is the Den of Geek podcast, featuring commentary on the latest news from denofgeek.com, as well as other behind-the-scenes content from your favorite movies, TV shows, and more. My name is Mike.
And I'm Dave, and this is episode 12, the early edition of G News for July 2018, in which we'll be discussing all things San Diego Comic-Con.
Or more accurately, we'll be discussing with Leonard Saltana of AnEnglishmanInSanDiego.com about San Diego Comic-Con, since we are not there.
We are not, and it's well documented that I will probably never be going to San Diego Comic-Con.
Right. I'm a convention goer myself, but Dave is not. But yeah, we haven't had the good fortune to make it out to San Diego yet. But denofgeek.com definitely has plenty of coverage coming in as we speak. As we're recording this, there's just news items coming left and right. But we decided, rather than just rehash those particular announcements with you, we'd get more of a feel of the culture of San Diego Comic-Con from an expert, someone who's been going to the convention for quite a number of years and covering con culture and coming at it from a bunch of different angles. So, Dave, let's go ahead and bring in our expert to join us on today's podcast. So we're here with Leonard Saltana, who is the proprietor of AnEnglishmanInSanDiego.com, which started as a humble vlog in 2012, just like us, actually. We started podcasting in 2012 with a very humble podcast. And he's been documenting his own journeys to San Diego Comic-Con, which is the biggest industry convention in the world, each July. But now his website has grown into its own con-centered entertainment website with a weekly YouTube show. Welcome to G News, Leonard.
Thank you very much indeed for having me.
And you're there awfully early in San Diego. You just got there. What's been going on? How long does it take to prepare for a convention like this?
Well, certainly longer than a week. I'll go with that. But no, we also use this as kind of a centerpiece to our holiday or vacation, as you say in the States, purely because it is such a beautiful city. It's very open. It's very welcoming to visitors. It's got some great food. I can't deny that. Yeah. So it's certainly something to come in and use as a centerpiece for our holiday. Certainly once the convention is done and dusted, because I'm here with my wife, Caroline, the second that the convention finishes for about a week, if I even go remotely near a Comic-Con related story or anything online, I do get a swift kick around the ankles. So that is definitely holiday time. But as of right now, yeah, no, we're well and truly in it. We're getting stories on pretty much an hourly basis. For example, within the last hour or so, we found out confirmed that Neil Gaiman is going to be in town promoting American Gods. So there's constantly stories. And I'd certainly for the last month and a half, it is just, it's relentless with exclusives, with updates from the actual convention itself, because this is very much a testbed year. There's a lot of things that are being changed, and a lot of it feels like an experiment. So that kind of makes it feel like a whole new and different convention. It's a different tenor to this year.
All right. Well, you know, with this year's slate of programming, really containing no presence from Marvel Studios, no Star Wars announcements, nothing from HBO, no Game of Thrones, no Westworld. What are the big star panels from the entertainment industry this year?
People are talking about feeling it to be a light year because those headliners aren't here. But the thing is, there is so much content anyway. Those panels that you're talking about, yes, Marvel aren't here, but then again, they haven't got a great deal to bring. They can only really celebrate the last 10 years of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And to do that, you would just bring in your stars, have them show up on stage and wave and then leave. And at the moment, there's nothing they can really look forward to because you've got Captain Marvel, which is still in post-production. You've got various things that are a little bit too far away down the line. And likewise with Game of Thrones. That's just too far down. For next year they're going to come along and just absolutely blow the roof off the place. But as for who's actually here, I mean, DC are bringing an awful lot in terms of their slate. They are wanting to double up on any kind of interest that Justice League, any goodwill that film brought to it. So they are wanting to showcase Wonder Woman 1984. They're wanting to showcase Aquaman, which is definitely confirmed as being here. James Wan has already turned around and confirmed that. So DC and WB are definitely going to be rocking up and showing their wares in Hall H with Warner Brothers. But you've also got Doctor Who, you've got Legion. There's content here. And certainly with a number of the other rooms as well, you could just, there's no shortage of things to see here at Comic-Con.
What about Venom?
Venom is, well, I mean, the rumor is Tom Hardy will be in town. So he, to be honest, that's a really interesting panel, purely because it's also paired up with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is going to be a cinematic release, which is their animated slate, and it's the Miles Morales animation. And don't hate me for this, but I actually am more interested in that than I am in Venom. Because it looks incredible. The animation style is dynamic and very visual, very quirky, and it just looks insane. And not only that, but you also have Spider-Gwen in there as well, and all sorts of other alternate-verse Spider-Men representing. So, the trailer alone just blew me away. So, no, I'm very much going to be in the room for the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse portion of it. Venom? But it'd be nice for Tom Hardy to represent as well, because it's another element of Marvel films that they're trying to introduce new shades. And I think we've seen that with other comic book adaptations as well. With Logan was very much a noir thriller. So here you've got what could be a full-blown horror film, which we were kind of expecting with New Mutants, which then it seems to be dragged through development hell at the moment. So Venom's the kind of filling that void. So, no, I'm excited for it, but no, Enter the Spider-Verse is the one that's going to catch my attention on that particular panel.
And those are more Sony than Marvel Studios anyway.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, but you may notice that on the slate, it is emphasizing the Marvel presence of the Sony content, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So it's very, I think Sony are recognizing that if they showed up and said it is Sony Pictures presenting, which, I mean, it says it on the listing, but even on the description, they are making damn sure that they're aware. Yeah, okay, it's our name on the cover, but it's Marvel that's producing the sound. So,
well, in that sense, it's good that Marvel Studios is out of the picture so that DC and Sony can get a chance to shine.
Absolutely, because it's certainly been the Marvel show for the last year or so, or a couple of years.
Well, let's talk a little bit about movies besides the comic book-related ones, because certainly one of the ones that I'm looking forward to hearing about is M. Night Shyamalan's Glass. Love that series.
Absolutely.
And then Halloween, bringing back Jamie Lee Curtis. What do you know about those two?
Well, I mean, we know for a fact that they're in town, and they're very enthusiastic about that. So it's, well, when I say in town, they are coming to San Diego Comic-Con. They may not be here just yet. but those two films, they have a great potential to actually come into Comic-Con and really blow a lot of people away. I think with M. Night Shyamalan, there's still a sense of he's lost a little bit of goodwill with an audience, that he did perhaps lose his way. And there is still a sense of that, perhaps.
Maybe a little cautious optimism.
I think that's definitely the case. But people did enjoy Unbreakable. They did enjoy
Split,
absolutely. So I think they see and I think anyone wants to see a return of form for Bruce Willis as well. So I think, yeah, that has a lot of potential. And I think people will be showing up at that panel, I'd almost say out of a sense of curiosity, to see if this could be a film that could nail the landing. It's just a case of which M. Night Shyamalan we're actually going to see show up, if you know what I mean. Whether we're going to get a Last Airbender or if we're actually going to get an Unbreakable. So it depends which Shyamalan shows up. As for Halloween, I think because you've got Jamie Lee Curtis involved, because you've got that trailer, which is very much a case of we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We have these ingredients. We know what the story is, and they're keeping it. It looks like a very clean Halloween story. They're not going to go too crazy with any kind of reinvention. So it's a case of, okay, it's a party. Let's enjoy ourselves. So I think people are going to, not only that, but any opportunity to see Jamie Lee Curtis on stage. Because we have seen some incredible people show up and kind of everyone go slightly nuts in the bigger rooms. So we've had Harrison Ford in the past. We've had Sigourney Weaver show up on stage. But Jamie Lee Curtis, I mean, we've had her here for Scream Queens, but come on, this is Halloween. This is something else.
Now, are we thinking that Warner Brothers might touch on Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald? That's a rumor I'm hearing.
Yeah, well, I'd say that's a lock, because it is one of the few remaining franchises they've got really left. So it's something that they see a return on whenever they release those films. Whether they'll bring Johnny Depp is going to be interesting. it's unlikely with recent revelations and the way that anytime someone mentions his name, people start recoiling. But at the end of the day, he's playing a baddie in this one, so maybe.
Well, Eddie Redmayne is the new Johnny Depp anyway.
Indeed.
Yeah. Now, you already mentioned Doctor Who, and obviously this is Jodie Whittaker's Doctor Who debut, and Katie Burt wrote about that on Den of Geek. But it's also the Breaking Bad reunion, which Alec Bojalad covered. Are these as big a stories as they seem to me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the Doctor Who panel, it was the first announced official panel for Comic-Con 2018. And BBC America went all out to say that this is it's an historic panel. It's like you say, it's the first time we're going to see a Doctor and hear her talk about her appearance as the role before we've even seen an episode of hers on screen. So they want to make an absolute big impression with this. And Doctor Who always is a great show at Comic-Con. It's very much in our wheelhouse. So yeah. we enjoy when that particular circus rocks up. Not only that, but I think when Jodie Whittaker kind of rolls out the broad Yorkshire accent, I think she'll charm the pants off a lot of people in the room. So I think that's going to be fun. The Breaking Bad one is where I'm going to be a little bit cautious, because it is a popular show, of course, and it was a groundbreaking piece of storytelling. But it kind of had a very niche fandom. While very, very intense, it was very niche. In that, say, for example, shows like Firefly, shows like The X-Files, which had a broader mainstream appeal. The thing about Breaking Bad is it was very much your kind of, it was your grown-up show for grown-up storytelling. I think it's going to be a full room, and I think there's going to be a lot of fun with the people involved, because they are fun actors. They clearly enjoyed their time on the show. I don't know if it's going to fill it. Don't know if it's going to fill Hall H.
I guess it's just because it's the entire cast. I mean, pretty much everyone's going
to
be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, to have them all on the same panel. Of course, that's going to be a draw. I don't know. I'm a little guarded on that one. But no, I think it's going to be a fun panel, and it's going to be a fun time. That's an interesting day, because it starts with Doctor Who, and it ends with Breaking Bad, and that seems to be the tenor of, say, the Hall H and the big room programming here at Comic-Con this year, generally, in that this is the year. This is 2018, the year that San Diego Comic-Con killed the lines. They are making every effort to just make sure that there's nobody camping out for too long and going too crazy when it comes to camping out. So this is programming designed to get people in the room for a panel, leave that room, and go off and see something else. And then someone, say, if you want to see the Breaking Bad panel later on in the day, you're not having to spend all day in the room. It's something that you can come in and enjoy and then go off and see the rest of the convention. So, and that seems to be across the board for a lot of the programming. It's very much a different experience here at Comic-Con this year.
Yeah, well, you know, when you have that many people on the panel, I mean, do you have any insight who might be the dominant figure? Bryan Cranston, Aaron Paul?
It's going to be Bryan Cranston. Come on. And okay. To be honest, though, I mean, we've seen those two on a panel before, and the two of them clearly are a band of brothers, and they just bounce off each other wonderfully. Admittedly, we've seen this panel before. So it is going to be very much like a retrospective to the Breaking Bad series. So it's going to be a lot of anecdotes, lots of memories, lots of stories of the making of the show. And yeah, we've seen Cranston and Paul, we've seen that double act work very well before. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see that happen.
Now, there's a couple of sci-fi shows, genre shows, that Dave and I talk about, including The Gifted, The Man in the High Castle, which I'm hoping we'll get a premiere date for that one. And Supernatural's there, Riverdale, Legion, you mentioned, Winona Earp and Van Helsing from sci-fi.
Now, this is where I could quite happily talk for a good hour, two, 4 hours.
What are your favorites in that group?
It's Legion, man. It's so legion. The second that these schedules actually came out, there's two which I actually nailed down that I would absolutely be in the room for. There's a 2001 anniversary panel, because I'm just nuts for that particular film. We've got two members of the cast that's in the room for it. But Legion, that has been my show for this year. It's just blown me away every single frame. And yes, I will be in that room. I will be in Hall H. I mean, the site that I run, it is predominantly about the way that the convention is put together. It's the nuts and bolts of the thing. So there's the talkback panel, which is kind of the feedback from attendees and exhibitors to the high-ups at Comic-Con. That starts at 3. The Legion panel starts at 2:15, which
means tight.
it's going to be incredibly tight, but I will be attending both if it kills me. Even if I have to clone myself, I will be attending both.
Okay. Well, speaking about killing, what's your opinion of the off-site activations, virtual reality experiences, escape rooms, and the like? Because I know Vikings had the one, I believe it was last year, where you could be thrown into the pit of poisonous snakes.
Well, I passed that area actually this morning because I was doing a bit of a wander of downtown just to see how things are getting prepared for the show. And that particular car lot is actually being taken up by Jack Ryan from Amazon Studios. I had a look at a activation that Amazon did for Jack Ryan at MCM Comic Con in London. And it, from the description, when we heard about what they're doing here in San Diego, it sounded like a very similar setup to that, in that you had like a VR shooting range. You basically prove yourself as either a analyst or a field agent, as it were. At which point you then go down and have a look at this thing. And considering they've got a Huey helicopter up on some gantry, which is clearly going to be part of some kind of thing where you can jump out of a helicopter some 3 stories up, and you just go, okay, this is not what they did at MCM. It's a huge activation. I mean, it's part of the appeal of San Diego Comic-Con. It doesn't just take over the convention center. It takes over San Diego. It really does just dominate the city. So you've got all of these things that are taking camp. You've got the Adult Swim on the green at the back of the convention center. Jack Ryan, that is huge. It's a massive activation that they're bringing. And there's loads. There's just absolutely loads. I mean, we've heard of a Lost in Space one that got announced this morning, which intrigues me. There is a Legion one, I believe, that is around. No, I'm. You don't have to just find yourself in the confines of the convention center to have a good time at this show.
Well, speaking of that, one of the things when I used to take my daughter to the anime conventions when she was in middle school and high school, one of the go-to areas was the dealer's room. And, of course, you get things like Funko Pop exclusives at San Diego Comic-Con or stuff like that. Are there any go-to booths that you like to visit and get something from?
Absolutely. Well, get something from is something else because once you start, then you don't stop, and then you end up being unable to fly home because you've got no money.
Yeah.
This is, like I say, when we talk about an experiment, this is another year for that as well because Comic-Con International have moved a lot of getting your exclusives, those ones which you were lining up for a lot. So, for example, Funko, Hasbro, Lego, whatever. They've now moved that into a virtual exclusives portal. So it's now become something where anyone with a member ID can get something from those big booths. But it's like you say, though, there are lots of little niche booths and lots of little vendors which are worth checking out. Mondo are always a great booth to go and have a look at, which are a posters company, which bring some world-class artists to produce film, like alternative film posters. So Mondo's always good. I don't know. I just like wandering around and seeing the sights and sounds. I'd say some of the bigger booths, which I quite like as well, are Nickelodeon, which is always a fun booth.
Now, Den of Geeks' Seamus Kelly wrote about some Voltron toys that attendees can expect to see at the convention, but you wrote on your website about Voltron Legendary Defender having a panel this year. Is there a big anime presence at cons like this?
At cons, absolutely. Not so much necessarily at San Diego Comic-Con. Perhaps it's something that hasn't been represented as strongly as it has this year. But I think with Voltron showing on Netflix, when it's gotten more of a mainstream audience, And not only that, the fact that it's just a very fun show as well. Yes. It's a great, great watch. I'd say this year you're seeing more of it. I think when it comes to Japanimation, it's not something that has had a big presence in the past. Certainly manga and in the comics realm, it has. Because certainly with some known artists, they are respected here. And they are treated with a great deal of reverence. But when it comes to the animation, so for example, some classic 80s animation perhaps that we may know. I mean, over in the UK, we knew it as Battle of the Planets. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you knew in the US.
Not my territory.
No, there you go. There you see, that's the thing. I think it represents a niche interest. But you find that with a lot of interests here at San Diego. So for example, there's a pinball room. So there's a room where someone can go and celebrate the art of pinball machines. And I think anime has that very similar take here at Comic-Con. But because Voltron is opening the door to a slightly bigger audience, I think that's the reason why it's gotten so much attention. And not only that, it's like you say, there's a great Voltron figure, exclusive figure that is available this year, which is definitely one of the go-to items to pick up for collectors.
And do you get into the cosplay at all? I know that actually is represented well for anime.
Cosplay for the last couple of years, it's almost gone pro.
Yeah, it has.
When you used to see cosplay, it was a case of let's go do cosplay because it's a lot of fun. And yes, it is. And you do get a lot of people doing that. But over the last couple of years, it's like everyone just took it up a notch. And it's like high-end costumes, the big show of putting on a bit of cosplay. And we've got the masquerade that takes place on a Saturday here at Comic-Con. And I can imagine that. I mean, that's something you could actually just broadcast. You could just put out on air and people would just be blown away with just the level of detail. As for myself, no, I'm afraid I don't. Purely because...
You're like me. You probably put on a geeky t-shirt and that's about the end of
yeah.
it.
I think it's more a case of being a Brit in California weather. Any kind of layering of clothing beyond some shorts and a t-shirt or a shirt would, I mean, my wife is absolutely convinced that she wants us to do cosplay. She wants to star as Han Solo. She wants me to dress as Chewbacca. And all I can think is a full Chewbacca outfit in California weather, I would last a good hour and a half before I died. It would just it's awful.
That's right. Well, so is there anything else that you feel needs to be highlighted in our discussion here from Hall H or even something smaller that maybe is a hidden gem?
I think that's the thing about Comic-Con this year, that because there are so much content this year, it isn't dominated by one particular panel or show. There is space for a lot of little unexpected surprises to come along and just grab so many people's attention. For myself, I think this is going to be a year. I mean, someone talked to me the other day about this being a year of a tipping point, that this could be a real year where fandoms, where because they are so polarized at the moment, everything seems like an argument or a discussion of real passion. Someone was saying that they felt that this could be the year where fandoms kind of implode on themselves. Whereas I'm absolutely convinced, looking at the schedules we've seen in Hall H, in Ballroom 20, that there's just so much stuff still to love and embrace and to just celebrate. Anyone who turns around and says, obviously fixated by the Hall H and the Ballroom 20 razzmatazz, that this is a quiet year because Marvel's not here, because... Anyone who says that this is a quiet year clearly isn't looking hard enough, because there's so much stuff. There is so much to do here. I speak to so many people each year that come to Comic-Con, and they just feel like they've seen 5, 10% of it, if that. And that's when they've really gone all out. I won't be seeing half of that. It's
massive.
Yeah. It is a massive thing. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Because it means that wherever you go, there is something to see. I think there's sitting through a panel you wouldn't normally pick. I think there's things that's going to surprise you. And you get that at every Comic-Con this year more than most.
All right. Well, Leonard Saltana is an Englishman in San Diego. and EnglishmenInSanDiego.com. Where can people find you on social media, Leonard?
Well, I mean, yeah, you can find me mostly at EnglishmanSDCC. I usually live on Twitter, but certainly for the next week and a half, I'm going to be moving that over to Instagram because it is such a visual thing, all the sights and sounds to see. So I'll be moving over to Instagram. It does share to all my social media anyway, to Facebook and to Twitter. So in Instagram, EnglishmanSDCC is where you're going to see it first, and then it gets spread anyway.
All right. Well, thanks so much for talking to us today, Leonard Saltana, about San Diego Comic-Con, and have a great time.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think this year is going to be a blast.
So it sounds like Leonard's going to have a lot of fun at San Diego Comic-Con, and I know all of our representatives from Den of Geek are also doing a great job of preparing to give you the best that the convention has to offer.
Yeah, and I love his perspective because, look, with YouTube being a receptacle for virtually every panel, well, maybe that's an exaggeration, but all the major panels turn up on YouTube. So somebody like me, I can get a chance to watch those. But, you know, Leonard told us some things that you just can't get from YouTube.
Yeah, it's being on the ground, seeing what it's like at the convention and the experience, trying to make it better for the people who are there, trying to make it more smooth for people trying to get in and out of Hall H, which I've always heard is a big problem. But luckily, for those of you at home like Dave and I who don't get to make it to the convention, denofgeek.com has plenty of coverage. I even saw a bunch of announcements coming out today about new toy lines, new announcements for lineups from specific networks and things like that that you can check out on the website. But until then, that's going to be it for this installment of the Den of Geek podcast. Join us again in 2 weeks for the July 2018 late edition of GNews, when we'll hash out the latest from denofgeek.com and share some more behind-the-scenes content from your favorite television shows, movies, and more.
And if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts, whether Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or SoundCloud.
And thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.